Welcome to Survivor Shoals, where we share the stories of survivors. My name is Kendra Hall, your host, and we have another amazing and very special guest. Can you please state your name and tell us what you do?
My name is Akia Williams, and I am a licensed therapist.
Wow, a licensed therapist. What brought you into therapy?
So I always tell people that therapy chose me. I wanted to be a lawyer, and then once I got to college and got into my psychology classes and trauma classes, I realized I found my people. So therapy chose me, but just kind of wanting to be what I needed growing up.
Wow. Now you speak about what you needed. What do you mean by that?
So at 5 months old, my biological father killed my biological mother in an act of domestic violence. So I grew up with my aunt, being raised with my aunt and 10 other siblings, what we knew as siblings, because we all grew up as brother and sister. I didn't find out that I wasn't an actual child until I was 8 years old. By my next door neighbor, who told me that I was adopted, and I didn't believe him. And I ran upstairs and I'm like, "Mom, you know, he said I was adopted." And her simple answer was, "Your father killed your mother. You're lucky you're not in DHS."
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. Number one, that happened to you. But to know that so hard, to be told that in such a harsh way, did you even believe that?
I believed it. It just wasn't a household where we could ask questions. So I had to kind of process it and figure it out on my own, in which I did. And I internalized it and created all kinds of stories as I grew up on what could have happened to her, what the reason was that it happened. And, it kind of changed the trajectory of my life based upon these stories that I made up while growing up.
So 8 years old, your aunt tells you this. The same day, Howard, if you can go back and remember a piece of it, what was your thought that night?
My thought, so when she told me to go back outside and play. I sat down on the step. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I sat down on the step to go downstairs, and my thought was, how many people knew? And if you're not my mom, and then that means they're not my siblings, so who am I and where do I belong? And that's kind of what stuck with me for years. I never felt like I belonged anywhere.
And did you have other siblings, biological siblings that were in the home?
I have one biological sister. She has a different father, but she was also in the home. And that was something that I always never understood. I'm like, you know, she was 5 years old. So I'm like, You knew our mom. Why didn't you ever say anything? But like I said, we were in the house where it just wasn't something that was talked about.
My goodness. So you're not able to ask questions, and were you able, did you feel comfortable asking your sister about these allegations, and what in your mind, like, this happened? Why didn't you tell me? Did you talk to her about it at that time, or you just were like too shocked?
We never talked about it again. Okay. I didn't have that conversation with her or any other siblings until we were adults.
Oh my goodness. So that makes sense. You're making up these stories because you don't have anything else to go on. And how was that changing you inside?
It just alienated me more and more. I'm realizing that I don't have these things in common. I'm wondering why I don't look like these people and why I don't act like this. And you know, it was just kind of solidifying for me that I don't belong here, that, you know, this isn't my biological family, even though they were, because it was my maternal aunt, right. But it still made me feel out of place. And then I also felt, you know, rejected, like, you know, where is the family from the dad's side? Like, you know, he may have done what he did, but there's a grandmom and there's aunts and uncles, and why isn't anyone looking for me?
Right. Why am I not thought of? And so feeling like that, did your behavior change in any ways that you feel like, you know, that interaction brought this on, or?
So I became a very combative teenager. You know, I fought a lot. I got into a lot of different scenarios, and I wasn't like a bad student. I was always a great student. I always got good grades and things like that. At age 14, my mom decided that she was tired and she didn't want to raise me anymore. So she actually signed her rights over to me to one of my friends from school's parents. So again, I went back down that rabbit hole of being rejected and feeling unwanted. And
my goodness, now how did that happen? How does that happen? Was that, and did she tell you that this was a potential, or was just that I'm done today?
So we moved around a few times, and then we got to a situation where she just was tired. Like, she had raised a lot of children. She had 3 of her own children. She raised 13.
Okay.
So, you know, she was just tired. I was the last one of those children, and I just equated to her being tired. So she wanted to send me to Girard College. And at that time, Girard College was, you know, a boarding school. And I'm like, I'm not going to Girard College. I get good grades. There's no reason for me to have to get sent away. So
and you had friends that were established where you were at. You were happy with your friend circle and just your life where you were at.
Right. And then I would just, you know, stay the night at my friend, at that time, my friend Dominique's house, just hoping that her parents didn't ask why I never went home. And then
it sounds like a place you loved.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually I had to tell them, because she's like, you know, what do you want to do? And so I wanted to stay there, so I asked them, and they had absolutely no problem with it, and they adopted me.
Oh,
at
wow.
15 years old.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
beautiful.
You.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. And how did you feel?
I was still, the way it happened, she signed over her rights to me in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, my.
So I still was feeling unwanted, and, you know, I kind of, it made me feel like a burden. It was like, you know, they had to do that, otherwise I would have been... Who knows what would have happened to me. So I didn't appreciate it like I should have emotionally, because I was so torn between feeling not wanted and this having to happen.
How was life at Dominique's?
Life at Dominique's was great. They were great. They were great to me. They loved me. They took care of me. But I still felt like a burden. So I was there for about 2 years before I left and moved in with my biological sister for a year. And then I got pregnant at 17.
Okay. And was this a relationship that had been going on for a while?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you want the baby? And at the time, were you hoping to get pregnant, or was it something that happened?
Absolutely not. I was on birth control.
Okay.
It was not something that was planned. I actually did not find out I was pregnant until I was 20 weeks.
Oh my.
Yes. Still had a cycle and everything. And yep, I found out I was pregnant, and I found out I was having a boy the same day. So that Whoa. Was not something that was planned or, you know. So, but it happened.
Right. So and you're at your sister's at that time?
I was at my sister's. Yeah.
Okay.
So I talked to her about it, and she's not the guardian or parent. At this point, it's like I'm on my own.
Right.
So I talked to the dad about it. I'm like, okay, if you want to keep this baby, then I need to have somewhere to live by the time this baby comes.
Right.
And he kept his word. So I graduated from high school in June. I moved into my first apartment in July, and I had my son in August.
Wow. I'm glad that part definitely worked out. So you're in this situation, in a family situation now. Your first real family, and in a lot of ways that it's you, and you know, you have your child's father, and now your child. And how was life at that time for you?
Life was good for me, right? Because I had never really had that dynamics, and I kind of just went along with it how it came. It wasn't something that was like, you know, I didn't have an example of what to look like or what it was should be. So I kind of just, you know, went along with it, and so it wasn't.
So what was the, how long were you in that situation for, with living the situation?
With
your son's father?
So we actually got married, had 2
wonderful.
Additional children. So we were together for a total of 16 years.
Okay. Yep. Oh, wow. So that's a long time.
Yes,
you know,
my
right?
whole adult life.
Yes. all the years, right?
Yes.
Wow, my goodness. So, and when you think about that, what do you feel like, do you think that, you know, part of that is that you love that dynamic, or was it just like the dynamic you knew, or what do you feel like, you know, you can attribute that long, that lengthy relationship to as well? Of course, of love, of course. But, you know, what are some other things that you feel like were some contributing factors?
It was safety. It was structure, right? So prior to the children, this person took care of me, right? So he was the person that took me to school. He was the person that took me to get uniforms, right? So it was a safety and security thing. Like, I knew this person wasn't going to leave.
And they were older than you, or you're saying?
Yeah, he's 4 years older than me.
Okay. So that's a you know, not mm-hmm. a huge age difference, but enough.
A little more mature.
Yes.
So he had a car, he had a job, mm-hmm. and, you know, so for me, that was kind of, it was structure.
Right,
at that time, I was just kind of, no one was responsible for me. I was responsible for myself.
Right.
So he kind of kept me together. I always went to school. I always did everything I needed to do, but he was kind of like the structure.
And it's such a blessing that it sounds as though you did not go off the rails fully as a teenager, because there were so many different ways that you could have, with feeling like you weren't, you know, you didn't belong, and not having that confidence that you may have wanted to, because you didn't know what you know, where do I stay? You know, who are my people fully? And so you've had those amazing angels, right? Like Dominique and her family, as well as, you know, your son's father at the time, to really assist you through. And then, you know, also your aunt, right? Your aunt who was, you know, she did her best, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. And so, you know, going into that space, in those spaces now, looking at it from a therapist's perspective, you know, I'm sure you're able to help a lot of people who are going through that feeling of not, do I belong? Where are my people at? Is anybody going to love me? Am I lovable? Right? I would think those are some of the thoughts that come up when you feel abandoned or you feel like you don't have a place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And ironically, I am a trauma therapist, right? So I work with adults with childhood trauma because I feel like I am an expert in that, right? And all of those feelings are definitely ones that come up, right? And just learning to understand that you are your person, right? You don't need people to validate you or to make you feel validated, right? So learning how to love you and understand that you have everything that you need to continue on.
Right.
So teaching my clients that, learning it myself, that was a big thing because I didn't go to therapy. I didn't get therapy. I didn't, you know, that wasn't a thing. We went to church. And if God didn't heal us, then that was it.
Right. We had to wait, pray and wait, cry on your face. Right.
That was it. So, you know, that wasn't like a thing for us growing up. Not to mention, we weren't even allowed to talk about things like that. So just kind of holding it in and then being older and being told to like remember things that we worked so hard to forget.
Right.
It's kind of like triggering all over again.
How are you able to even navigate so much in life and then not have that therapy? I mean, a lot of people, you know, they actually need that to get to the next level. So you almost, you know, you were able to self-soothe enough to be able to get you to this place, right? What were some of the things that you were able to tell yourself to even get you to a point where you can go into, you know, like you said, you went to college and you're like, hey, these are my people over here. What brought you to that, even that mental space?
So I've always looked at things that I can do to distract myself. Whenever I would get overwhelmed, I would figure something out, right? So school was a really big distraction for me. So I actually have 4 degrees because before I figured out where my people were, I was just doing anything, right?
Congratulations. So, yes. Yes,
you.
I love it.
So at first I went to school for accounting and then paralegal and then human service. And it took me a while to get to a psychology class where I eventually I figured out that this is where I belong, right? But through college is where I discovered that, okay, I need healing. I need therapy. I need to be able to talk about these because you grow up, you know, you only know what you know until you learn something else. So growing up, this was my normal. You know, I didn't realize that everybody else didn't have a traumatic background. I thought this is how everybody, because everyone in my household had the same background. Right.
Right.
So
right.
Our normal, this was our normal.
And, you know, and the interesting part as well is that not only are you teaching and you're helping in so many ways, you're also, you have a book as well, right?
I do.
So tell us about your book.
So my newest book is called Graduated to Healing. It just came out on my birthday, July 21st. And this book is a memoir of sort of like my life, right? So it tells a little bit about my story and how I got to where I am now through the traumatic experiences and learning from them, because we all go through traumatic experiences. It's about how you respond to them, right? So the book is kind of like an activity book or a workbook in a sense to help you with some guided activities on being able to get through with affirmations and just positive resources to help you through those tough times when we think we have it all together and, you know, we don't know what else to do. Right. So just like a reminder to be able to continue going and push through.
Beautiful, beautiful. Tell us, what is your favorite affirmation from the book?
My favorite affirmation is, you are worthy.
Beautiful. I love that. So tell us, what does you are worthy mean to you?
You are worthy means that it's just me. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I'm worthy of whatever God sees fit for me to have. I'm worthy of healthy children. I'm worthy of a relationship. I'm worthy of a successful career. You know, I am worthy because for a long time, I never felt worthy of anything, right? I always felt worthless because nobody wanted me. So when you have that, you know, that feeling of rejection and being unwanted, there's no worth that comes into that, right? People only want things that are of value to them, that are worthy to them. So continuing to remind myself that you are worthy, that kind of pushes me to like, yeah, no, I do deserve this. Like, it's okay for me to smile. It's okay for me to be happy because I'm worthy of these things.
I feel like there's even, I love how you've explained things. I feel like there's something in the book that you should read, and I'm not sure what that is, but do you have like something in there that kind of sticks out in the book, a small piece, whether it be a sentence or a phrase or something that kind of sticks out to you? And it could be just even part of your acknowledgments. It's something that kind of, you know, you would leave with people today. Because we know your book is absolutely something that needs to be shared. And this is your latest book because you have other books out.
I do.
Right. So tell us also about the other book names and where we can find those while you're looking for the excerpt.
So my very first book is called Mommy Wake Up. And it is a book about domestic violence told from the perspective of an 8-year-old child. It's not my story. A lot of people thought in the beginning that it was my story, but it's not. I actually became a domestic violence counselor, and this was something to help my clients realize that the children know and understand what's going on. Additionally, I have a alphabet affirmation book for children. It's a coloring book. I have two journals. One is a gratitude journal, and then the other is just kind of like a blank goal getter journal. And all of those books you can find on my website, calmonpurpose.com, or Amazon.
Lovely. Congratulations. So many blessings on blessings on blessings, Queen. So I love all that you've been doing, and the fact that you were able to go through so much and be able to, you know, to share and to help the next generation. Like I said, it's just so phenomenal. So when you think about your book, what is something that sticks out to you in your book that you want to share and leave us with?
So I am a writer, right? So I write poetry. Everything always rhymes, not even on purpose. Sometimes it just happens by accident. I'm a person who can write a poem on demand, right? Mm-hmm. So I always try to put in like a poem in the beginning or something that leads to that, related to what the book is about. So I can read a little bit of that.
That's beautiful. Poetry is my first love. I started out writing poetry in the Highlights magazine. So, and I love it. I love it. I'm a fan. Please.
So this one here is called A Prisoner of Your Mind. Your thoughts can take you on a journey that you've never dreamed, where you feel trapped and your reality isn't what it seemed. You want to feel better, but you can't help but think of the worst. When all you did was be born, but your family seems cursed. Nobody wants you, not your mom or your dad. When you were hungry, you stole food and they labeled you bad. They sent you to jail, said that you were a menace to society. So many people, all new faces, now you've developed anxiety. Your heart races now, you break out in cold sweats. You're yelling to the guards, but receive no help, just death threats. You're forced to live in a world that only you know, where your thoughts don't make sense, and now they're labeling you psycho. They send you to the hole, you're forced to live in solitary. The only phone call you receive is about your mother's obituary. You're struggling with thoughts, did she love me or not? Maybe she did, but not enough for her to stop. The drinking, the drugs, each day and each session. They said I had anxiety, now they're telling me I have depression. They say Black Lives Matter, but mine never did. The system is who raised me, it started as a kid. I had to learn to survive from what I've seen in my community. Gun-toting, drug dealing, that was my only opportunity. The odds were against me from the day I was born. Drugs hit my mother, jail hit my father. How could I not be torn? Between the streets who raised me and also praised me, the trauma I endured caused my mental health crisis. The streets used money and fame as things to entice us. Now I'm a prisoner of my mind, not only the Department of Corrections, but lost in my thoughts, looking for any sign of direction. stop saying Black Lives Matter. You don't know what Black lives go through. Our mental health is real as jail, and if left untreated, it becomes our very first jail cell.
Deep. Oh.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Amazing. Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely phenomenal. Wow. So such a blessing for you to share that poem.
Thank you. That is
so powerful.
I appreciate it.
It's so touching. The fact that you were able to bring those feelings, because I can understand that totally in so many different layers. I mean, so everybody has to connect. This is a must. This is a must to connect with you in so many different ways. Can you tell us how we can reach you?
Sure. So you can find me on all social media platforms, Akia the Therapist or Akia's Heart Incorporated, which is my nonprofit organization, and akiasheart.org.
Thank you so much, Akia, for sharing your amazing journey on Survivor Shows. We're so thankful and grateful for you to share
Thanks
and for you to be
me.
Here.
Thank you.
Blessings.